from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Final hour for us. Still plenty to get into. Big story of the day just a couple of minutes away as week one is in the books in college football. The coaches poll is out. The AP poll, not out yet. We'll give you some updates on some of the movement in the coaches poll. Brandon Adams is going to join us, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. Obviously very excited about the way that Georgia performed on Saturday afternoon against Clemson. Get him in here in 20 minutes, get his thoughts on that. And then we'll get to an AMA to wrap things up, as we always do. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. Call us up and ask us anything. And the final hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com.
Andy, this weekend, so me and my family went up to Helen, and so we went by the Lazy River and everything, and down at the end of it, you know, they got picnic tables and stuff. And so we went up there Sunday, hung out all day, got us a nice spot and everything. Had to hang out with some of my Spanish brothers.
What was the weather like?
It was perfect.
It was nice? Okay.
Perfect.
It was perfect. It was great up there. Up there in North Carolina. It was awesome.
It was perfect. So we were sitting around chatting, and you know, I'm looking at my phone and stuff, because, I mean, I had to bring my iPad because I was like, if I'm going to go up there, I can't miss the F1 race, you know, which I got a chance to see watch that one. And then there was a couple other things I wanted to just keep an eye on. And so, but I'm looking and trolling Twitter, and you see what's trending, and it said glitch, Chase Bank glitch.
Oh,
and so yeah. I'm like, what the hell's going on with this? And so I click on it, and I'm looking at, like, that ain't a glitch. That's bank fraud. Check fraud.
Yeah.
That's you being a dumb idiot to think that you're getting away with the money and ain't that gonna happen to you. Yeah. And I just kept scrolling down, and I'm looking at, but the one thing that was
people have real, like,
Andy, the one thing that threw me off though was the line of people to get in the bank to do this.
Right.
At the age of to do this.
Yeah.
And you sent your thing to yourself. People are real stupid.
Yeah, they got cameras, like, and they're gonna cameras, see us. And you got an account with all your information.
That's it right there, Bob.
Yeah.
It's your account.
Yeah, it's your account. They're gonna be able to, they're gonna be like, maybe you glitch your way into some money, but they're gonna get it back. And then you're gonna get
in trouble. You're gonna get in trouble.
Yeah, no, bank fraud's one of those ones that
I was just like, but the just
people
the
have
happiness,
loose morals on
the happiness that people were getting because of it. I was like, damn, you dumb.
Yeah.
You by the dumb somebody.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I grew up with a couple people.
I saw the Andy.
You ever know anybody that was, like, kind of big into
yes.
it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a good buddy who got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble.
Yeah.
For bank fraud.
No, I don't want nothing.
Yeah,
hey,
no.
You want, yeah, man, I got this, bro. You want, nope.
Well,
I don't
then
want
be
nothing.
Like, hey, can I use your card? No.
No.
You can't. I'm not going to help you.
No.
Like, whatever, do it. Don't get
because
caught, please.
But,
I'm not going to help you do it.
And you know what? I don't want nothing, because if I'm called to testify, you're going to jail.
Yeah, if it's between the two of us.
Between the two of us, I'm not going to jail. I didn't do nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong, and I don't got nothing. I don't even want that drink.
So,
all right.
So here's how. Yeah, exactly. No. I'll buy my own drink.
I'll buy my own drink.
You keep your dirty credit cards away
yes.
from me. But here's, I think, an even worse part of that story is it was sort of sweeping social media
yes.
that people were trying to commit this,
yes.
you know, whatever, glitch. There was a guy who made a video of himself
yes.
trying to do it, but losing money mm-hmm. off of it. And it looked like he was like 40 grand in the hole or something like that. he wasn't even really losing money. He was pretending to do that so people would watch it and he would get some sort of social media. Like, we're so desperate to be social media famous that we'll pretend to lose $40,000 on the internet. So maybe some people might click on your video and watch it.
You moron.
Yeah, I don't. That's a sickness right there.
I don't know what it
is. Like, you're sick. Andy, I think Brazil's onto something.
But Andy,
I don't know.
All I did was
I'm not for suppressing free speech and all that, but I think Brazil's onto something. Twitter.
I just kept like, are you serious? Like, they think this is a glitch? It's like, poor baby.
Yeah.
You need some more learning. you need some more learning about yourself. You damn idiot. I was like, boy, the stuff. But I had a good time though up there.
You didn't commit any bank fraud.
I didn't commit no bank fraud. Good. I ain't no. That's good. But I'm gonna tell you right now. I would. Hey, Randy, man, you think I could? I ain't gonna give you a ride. You think you can ride down to Chase Bank? Nope. Because I don't want nobody. You know how usually whenever something like that happens, they track all your steps. They would have tracked you with me.
Yeah, we were together.
We were together.
What were you guys doing together? I don't know. He needed a ride. I didn't know what for.
You better believe me.
You think he had? You think he had like good business at the bank? You think he was going there for? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'll
tell
man.
You what. You ain't got to have it like that bright there in the interrogation room.
You don't need to turn the light on. It was him.
It was him.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. What do you need me up here? No problem. Yeah.
I'll be there.
Hell yeah.
You don't even have to call to remind me.
I do.
Him. Yo, it was him.
Hell yeah, I'm telling.
All right. Let's
get in trouble because you want to be a damn dummy. It was him. The brother slouching in the chair.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Boom! Up, Nick. Let's it go deep in. Intercepted by the All-American Malachi Starks. It's the first turnover of the game for either team. And it comes in the building where Starks made an impressive debut against Oregon 2 years ago.
That is absolutely ridiculous by Malachi Starks. I mean, he played it just like a wide receiver, and yet he's in coverage.
I do think the play I saw him make today may be one of the best defensive football plays I've ever seen live in person. I've seen a lot of them on TV, but that one, you know, he twisted and tore his body, and how he could find the ability to go find that ball and get it is
it looked like his first game in that building.
Better
except
catch.
It was the other sideline.
Better catch. Malachi Starks interception or Michael Harris Saturday night. Better catch. Which one was better?
I'm going to go with Malachi.
You think so?
I think
Mike's was better.
Mike can do that. Mike can do that again.
Malachi did it again.
I know.
They're both incredible. We don't have to pick. Picking between your kids.
Yeah, man. But no, that was a hell of a play by Mike.
It wasn't
Malachi.
A bad throw.
And then you look
it wasn't
at
really
it because the star, I forgot who, the star, Malachi played star yesterday, which is.
Pretty, yeah, Janelle Aguero.
Yeah,
he got hurt.
And so Malachi played the star position and was just outstanding. I mean, the dude was great. The young boy Bolden played his tail off.
Yeah.
He played his tail off.
He made
off.
One play in the first quarter, and Kirby was like, he's not coming out.
He played his – boy, he played well. True I tell you else who played good. Old-ass Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, he saved a first down. Mm-hmm. Came up and laid the wood on the receiver, man. Yep. I mean, but yeah, Malachi's just unreal. It sucked to see Mykael Williams get hurt, but he had an outstanding play. And then he got hurt, guy comes across. Now, I didn't think it was dirty play. I didn't realize that they had took that play out of college football.
Illegal,
because I've done that plenty of times. Mm-hmm. But it was more like on the thigh board, you know,
right.
guy coming through the hole, you chop him down.
You have to come straight at him.
Yeah.
You can't come from the side.
You can't come from the side and do it. But, so it was unfortunate he got hurt and everything. You hate it because it seems like it's something that may linger. He's not playing this weekend. He's not playing this week. We know that.
No. What it sounds like, just reading some of the folks that are in on it, and obviously we'll talk to Brandon Adams about it in about 10 minutes. Grade 2 ankle sprain. Yeah. Kirby said he doesn't expect it to be long term.
Right.
I would, if I'm just kind of guessing or betting, I would guess he's back for the Alabama game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you
doesn't play this week, doesn't play Kentucky. Then they have a bye, and then he plays Alabama.
Yeah, and you hate that.
Well, you hate it because his numbers by the end of the season are going to be insane.
Exactly.
He played. He played really good.
He was out there whipping tail. And so you saw that a couple guys went down in the game. You lose your right tackle. He went down. But, you know, that was always the biggest thing. To start the season, when you have such the expectation Mykael has, you don't want to go linger. Because everybody's like, what's wrong with him? Well, I mean, ankle. He's not himself. He's not 100%. Yeah. You hate that. Big game. Trevor Etienne does not play. Might not play this weekend. But I don't think the distraction, whatever you want to call it, it wasn't there at all. They were fine. Branson, he just ain't played football in a long time. He has not played football in a long time, and it was just not there like it usually is when it's time for him to hit the hole. Young boy did. Frazier, he hit the hole. It was quicker. Like, the two-yard gain that, you know, Branson got because he's strong as everybody, that keeps turning to four.
Yes, yes. Nate Frazier was hitting the hole better. He was obviously getting the, you know, getting more yards per carry, had a touchdown, could have had two, but yeah, he kind of tripped on his own feet. I think Branson Robinson is going to be so vital later in the year, though, because he's such a physical runner. He's going to grind teams down. Yeah. It's like, who is it? Like they kind of used
Holyfield?
Holyfield. They kind of used Holyfield and like that, and then Zeus. Yes. Yeah, they would just grind the clock in the third and fourth quarter, and I feel like Branson Robinson eventually, as he gets sort of healthier and more up to speed, coming back from not playing football for a couple of years, is going to be really vital.
Tight ends played.
Nate Frazier was insane. Yeah,
I thought the tight ends played.
Jurecek, he didn't have a great
he
game.
He looked like he was confused.
Yeah,
because you saw a couple times where Oscar
Lawson Lucky played. Lawson
was awesome. Because you know why? Because they let him do what he does.
Yeah,
let him run routes. Let him catch the football. Mm-hmm. He's okay trying to hold up, but at a certain time, you got to put him in a position where he can just hold up and don't got to be the main guy at the point of attack. He played awesome. That damn wide banana route was so nasty. Just the way he sold it and got out of it. I thought Oscar Depp played tough. Didn't have a catch. No, he had one.
He had a target.
Had a target.
Didn't have a catch.
Didn't have a catch. I thought, but as a group, but yeah, the young boy from Stanford, he just looked uncomfortable. And that's like, you need this kid to play well. But
he'll get better.
Yeah, he'll get better. But it seemed like every time it was like they were trying to tell him, hey, you right here, and everything like that. Obviously, the transfer receivers played really, really good.
Yep.
Lovett had a nice play. So, I mean, I just thought overall, and Carson was good. Carson wasn't great. Carson was good. That says more that he's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get better.
It wasn't a surprise to anybody by game time that ETN didn't play.
Right.
I still think it's meaningful. Like, for Kirby to actually do that.
Oh, yeah,
he didn't have to do it.
He didn't.
And a lot of other programs wouldn't. I mean, Ollie Gordon ran for a million yards Saturday for Oklahoma State.
He did.
And he actually got a DUI. ETN pled down, and it wasn't that. It was a minor in possession, whatever. Could have played. It wasn't I saw them saying it was a handbook thing. Like, it was. But no, it was a decision.
No,
like,
they put it on the handbook.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought. Anyway.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play this week, too, again, at some point, there was going to have to be a bigger public statement about discipline.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just running.
More so than handle it
internally. Extra running and all that other
this,
stuff.
This, that, and the other thing. For ETN to miss that game, again, obviously they didn't need him. They won by 31 without him. But that's not the point. The point is, if you do dumb stuff that you shouldn't do in this program, you're going to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative had been that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
You could do whatever you wanted and you weren't going to get in trouble for it. And I think you knew that wasn't true, because of kind of what you know is going on behind the scenes. But I thought that was an important public statement for Kirby to sit him.
Yeah, I mean, it was something. And you remember, I started like twos. I was like, we ain't heard nothing. I just don't know if he's going to play, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And you know, the young man, he atoned and said, I'm sorry, and all those different things.
Oh, no, he's done all the
right stuff.
But that doesn't mean.
It doesn't mean that you don't get.
And
it was one of those things where that was maybe a singular incident, maybe, and all the other stuff wasn't there.
I agree.
It's a possibility he probably would have played. But Kirby, after all the other stuff, these kids still speeding and all that other crap, he just decided to go ahead and do that. But, you know, Smile Monday played really good. That damn linebacking core for Georgia.
Yeah. They might have the best linebacking core.
And they're interchangeable, because a lot of them play, like four dudes played.
They're so fast.
And they're so fast.
They tackle.
They're fast. They're sound when they tackle. Like,
if a Georgia defensive player, and this even goes for corners, like if a Georgia defensive player touches you, you go down.
Yes.
And you don't fall forward.
They tackle.
Yeah, they tackle.
They tackle. The only thing was Humphreys out there, my man on the edge at corner 12. I'm like, he's still a little shaky to me. Now, I don't think that was pass interference at all, and I'm glad they picked the
flag.
I didn't like it because the dude pushed off and everything.
Then they did get with Ellis Robinson.
Yeah. I like Ellis.
He's going to be
Ellis
a very
gonna
nice
be a
player.
Good player, man.
Yeah, he was fouling people.
He's going to be a good player, man.
He was out there fouling people.
He's
going
to be a good player. But yeah, it was good to see the Dogs, the defense flying around, and you know, like Novocaine, it'll take its toll.
They played 11 true freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
One by 31.
Yes.
Against Clemson.
Without
maybe their best offensive player.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Georgia keeps rolling. We'll talk to Brandon Adams, get his thoughts on all of that, and start looking ahead. Obviously, get his thoughts on the Micah Williams injury as well. Brandon Adams next, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Andy and Randy.
Middays, 11 till 2.
Oh, you guys are making some noise.
Oh, there it is.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Ooh, you and me go fishing in the dark. Lying on a back saying counting the stars where the cool.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Tuesday afternoon. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. We'll get the phone lines open after the first weekend of college football. Maybe your AMA is college football related. Maybe it's NFL related with the Falcons getting things going this Sunday. Or maybe it's about something else altogether. It's up to you. We'll get there in 20 minutes. But 120 on Tuesdays means Brandon Adams joins the show. Host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing great. You know, life has been actually very good the last couple of days. So feeling very good. You know, listen, they can't all be this good, but it's been a pretty good week here thus far.
What I mean, look, obviously the performance was phenomenal. 34-3, the second half, they just blew doors off Clemson. Dominating performance. What was your, or a couple days later, what are your sort of lingering thoughts and best memories of that win?
Well, you mentioned the third quarter, the fact that after a pretty slow start offensively, Georgia was able to kind of find that there in the third quarter. That was obviously really good. But in addition to that, you know, I would say that coming into the game, you know, me, a lot of Georgia fans, probably pretty confident about this. And look, college football can be a very difficult sport to predict, right? If you try to make a living, you know, picking these games right, obviously a lot of people have run into trouble that way. But this is one that on paper, you just looked at what Clemson has lost from a talent perspective since these two teams played previously in 2021. What it brought into the stadium on Saturday, it just seemed like, you know, Georgia had kind of found a way just to kind of collect more capable players than what Clemson had had. And so I think it's one of those situations where this was an example of what I think a lot of us saw on paper did play on the field, which is, you know, Clemson's got a couple of nice defensive pieces. And Clemson, you know, will obviously be a tough out for a lot of teams here this year, but they don't belong in the same field as Georgia from an overall talent perspective. Dabo Swinney doesn't quite seem to get that. But I think it's obvious to a lot of the rest of us.
Better freshman debut, Bolden or Frazier?
Well, I thought that KJ certainly looks like a guy that's going to play a lot more this season. But Nate Frazier, man, you know, what a win for all the people who either saw a practice or know somebody who saw a practice or just sort of participate in the rumor mill. You didn't have to look very far, of course, the last couple of months to find somebody who was saying, man, this Nate Frazier has a chance to be really good. And this looks like the best running back that Georgia has brought into the program in a good number of years. At a time in which Georgia could use a little wiggle amongst its sort of, you know, skill position type guys, you know, Frazier seems to have that. So, you know, I think that Nate is going to be a very popular player with Georgia fans, because I do think that Georgia needs some kind of playmaking kind of pop here a little bit. And I think that Frazier has a really good chance to provide that.
By the time the game kicked off on Saturday, everybody knew that ETN wasn't going to play. I don't think anybody was surprised by that. Felt like by Thursday of last week kind of was the feeling that everyone was getting. Now that that happened, what do you make of the way that all went down? When do you think ETN actually does play with the team? Does he miss another game? What do you make of that whole story?
I mean, I'm assuming he probably plays this week, but obviously Kirby Smart's not going to reveal any of that. And look, I was pretty angered by the fact that he wasn't playing, just simply from the standpoint that, you know, he wasn't guilty of DUI. He had the same legal right that everybody else does to avail himself of the court of law, and his charge was reduced. And so therefore, if the university policy doesn't demand that he sit out, I thought it was wrong to punish ETN allegedly on the basis of somebody else's actions on this. And I think that the biggest lingering thing for me is the conventional wisdom is somebody else, whether it's university president or whatever, you know, kind of stepped in and said, this is what we think that should happen. You know, I don't love the idea of Kirby Smart not having full autonomy to make a decision like this for his football program. If that's indeed what, you know, what happened here, I don't love that. But, you know, there's also some extenuating circumstances. I guess the allegation is that ETN may have tried to flee the scene or avoid police or something like that. That probably complicates things here a little bit. I mean, ultimately, this was a game in which I believe that Georgia knew it could sit ETN and not worry too much about Clemson pulling the upset, so that's what they did. But some of the questions about who was it that made the decision, on what basis was the decision made, those are questions that kind of linger unanswered right now, but that's just sort of the way it is sometimes, I guess.
Hey, B.A., we were having some fun earlier. We were talking about Dabo and no transfer portal and all those different things. How about the Georgia transfers that came in, both receivers, touchdown? It looked like they were trying to do their best. They kept saying on the broadcast of keeping Arian Smith engaged, so we got to give him the football, which is funny as hell to me, as long as he's been around. But what did you think of the receivers and the skill position players and how they performed in a game that made the big plays by the transfers?
Well, we obviously are all in the media business, so you're going to gravitate towards narratives, and that's obviously a narrative, right, that Clemson doesn't take any transfers. Georgia has a couple of transfer receivers who catch touchdowns in that third quarter, which kind of built the lead that we knew that Georgia wasn't going to give back. I mean, ultimately, the biggest difference between Clemson and Georgia is not just the transfers, though. It's
yes.
The fact that, you know, Dabo doesn't even recruit as hard as Kirby does. In addition to not taking transfers, he's not recruiting as hard as he once did either, which is, I think, probably a concern if you're a Clemson fan. But as far as, like, the impact that Colby Young makes, you know, there are a lot of moments in which I'm not a former player like you are, Randy. I mean, there's plenty of times when I don't know what to expect in the football field. But when you saw Colby Young, big, tall guy who caught touchdowns for Miami a year ago, it just seemed obvious that this could be a real red zone target for Georgia.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that's exactly what he was able to be on Saturday. So it's kind of nice to sort of feel like a guy is working out like you thought he might be able to. And in the case of London Humphreys, here's what I'll tell you. You know, a lot of people didn't make too much about the fact when he came to UGA, but go back and look at the stats from a year ago. You can make a case that Humphreys was the second most productive freshman receiver in the SEC last year, playing for a Vanderbilt team that's not really on anybody's radar, understandably so. But at the same time, you know, SEC experience has some real value, and it really matters. And I think there's a chance that what we saw from Humphreys on Saturday was not sort of a one-time thing, kind of a weird anomaly. I think he's probably part of the story for the Georgia offense here this season.
The trust that Carson showed on that first pass, that dig route, I mean, the timing, because the linebacker was coming off the seam and was going to get there, the way Carson trusted him already, it was just, that was my favorite throw that he made of the day, was that not the touchdown throw, that play right there to that young man on that end route.
And I thought that Carson seemed so much more comfortable in the third quarter, second half, than he was in the first half. Now, what you attribute that to, perhaps I'm not smart enough to fully know, but I did feel like there was a very different version of Carson, you know, giving plays time to develop, mm-hmm. you know, trusting guys to make the bigger throw. It just seemed like it was just a better version of Carson for whatever reason in the second half compared to the first.
Yeah, guys get amped up, you know? I mean, even guys that have played in huge games, maybe, you know, the moment still kind of happens. But definitely the second half calmed down and played great. You mentioned it. It's a part of the conversation from a big picture standpoint in college football. Certainly not Georgia's problem. But what happens at Clemson now? Like, obviously they're still a talented team. They're not the program that they once were. They don't participate in some of the things that make other programs elite. I'm with you. I don't think transfers would have made the difference on Saturday, but it doesn't help that Georgia had a couple transfers score touchdowns and Clemson doesn't have any. What do you think the next, I don't know, year, couple years look like at Clemson as you sort of look into the crystal ball?
I'll be honest with you. I think it's really weird because from this standpoint, and I'm as hardcore of a Georgia fan as anybody can be, but when you look at Dabo's legacy, his, like, resume, it's unimpeachable. Like, it's incorruptible.
Yeah.
He won two national championships, and he went to six straight playoffs. Like if he were to retire today, he's kind of already, like, I don't want to say an all-time great, but, like, whatever, you know, he's certainly better than just a good coach. Mm. He has won a ton of games and multiple championships. That's a really big deal. But also, I have to be honest here, I don't think any of that helps him going forward. I think that Dabo's last good season is in the past. I don't think he's set up well to handle, you know, what college football requires of its coaches here right now. I don't think he seems to understand. I mean, even on Sunday night, he was talking about how he didn't think there was a huge talent gap between Georgia and Clemson. Listen, Clemson's got a couple nice pieces on defense. Moffa, the running back, I like okay. But if he really thinks there's a similar level of talent on Georgia and Clemson, then he's just lost. It's a really weird situation where Dabo's past, as dignified and distinguished as it is, I don't think it helps him any moving forward in the future. And if you're Clemson, I'm not quite so sure what you do about that, because I really think – I mean, I think they could struggle this Saturday against Appalachian State. And I think they could certainly have plenty more struggles here this season, because they are just not what they once were. And Dabo either doesn't want to acknowledge that or is somehow, for some reason, incapable of acknowledging that. But I think it's going to be a rough season for Clemson.
What?
I really, you know, this idea that, you know, they're done with Georgia, now they'll get back to dominating all the ACC. I'm actually not 100% sure that's how this is going to play out. I really don't think so.
But, yeah, what's your thought process? Everybody, you know, this whole Florida State thing, and you said Georgia broke them and all that other stuff that people like to have fun with and everything. But
like they broke themselves.
Like broke themselves, exactly. They just do not look like a prepared football team. And do you think that all the offseason stuff with the lawsuit and all that other crap is having this effect on this team? Or is it just that's just not that team?
I mean, this is where I'm going to come across as, I guess, a little bit of an SEC homer here. But the honest truth is I do believe it's easy to dilute yourself when you're in the ACC. I think that you can convince yourself you've arrived on the scene because you're beating ACC teams. Now, Florida State's currently also beat LSU, you know, to begin the season the last couple of years. But I just think it's another example of sort of like what we said about Clemson a moment ago, where you kind of don't know what you don't know. And in the case of Mike Norvell, they brought in a bunch of transfers last year that gave him a chance to be competitive. But to this idea that they're building a long-term sustainable program, obviously that's not the case. With all due respect, I think it's fairly obvious why Alabama didn't want Norvell to be its next coach, because the talent acquisition piece of all of this, it just doesn't seem like he fully understands that. And, you know, I don't know anybody who liked Florida State going into the Georgia Tech game week zero. And I thought they were in a little bit of a tough spot there last night. Look, we have seen DJ Uiagalelei for 2 years now. Like the couple of nice games he had in 2020, that's so long ago it might as well be ancient history. We saw him at Clemson in 2021, and it wasn't good. We thought a change of scenery might benefit him at Oregon State last year, and it didn't. The fact that, you know, some Florida State fans talked themselves into DJ over the course of this past offseason, I think speaks to the idea that college football fans find a way for hope to always spring eternal. But we had 2 years worth of data to suggest that DJ is not a good quarterback. And I don't say that with like any like joy in my, he's just not a good quarterback. And like when you have a bad quarterback and a weaker roster than you had a year ago, it's not going to go well for you always. And what is playing out for Florida State right now through the first 2 weeks is actually fairly easy to predict, just on the basis of the fact this roster is not what it was last year.
I've talked myself into way worse quarterbacks than DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah, I mean, we all have probably. Andy. Yeah. We can probably all convince ourselves of a lot, but DJ just may be the latest example of that.
Hey, obviously the number one best thing that happened for you and Georgia fans on Saturday was a win over Clemson. How close of a number two was what happened in Gainesville?
I just can't believe how much this is just a gift that keeps on giving. And I know I'm spiteful, and I'm not very sophisticated about stuff like this. I love seeing their misery, and I like Billy Napier cannot figure out how to get out of this. He's just digging himself a bigger hole week after week. He's attacking their rural fans yesterday. Did y'all see the video? He could not get the water bottle open. Like at a certain point in time, like, I had to stop watching that video because my sides were hurting so bad from, like, just because if you watch, I think it's like 8 total torques.
Yeah.
And like the 8th one, now he's like really going to get it, and he still can't get it. And so he has to put the water bottle back down, like in defeat. Like, I can't stop watching that. Like, he's so in over his head. This is like the 4th failed Florida coach in a row. Like, I mean, it really is. I mean, to think that you see Georgia, because nobody likes the noon start, right? But the benefit of the noon start is that once your team takes care of its business, you can settle in and watch everybody else. Yep. And when you roll on a TV window, right, from Georgia dominating Clemson to Florida just getting their teeth kicked in their own stadium, knowing that this loss, as bad as it was, they may lose 10 times this year. Like, that's really good entertainment. It just really is.
Just the joy in your voice. You're a sick man, Brandon. I don't disagree because I feel the same way about my rival, but I love hearing it. B.A., thank you.
What makes college football great?
Damn right. Thank you. We'll talk next week.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast.
Such a nice man to be so petty.
He really is. He's like one of the best guys. But then when it comes to rooting against Florida, he turns into a real diabolical maniac. A real psychopath. Good thing he's not like that in any other part of his life. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, the phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. You had a three-day weekend of questions to think of. I'm sure you have something to ask us. We'll do our best to answer all of your questions next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Glad you asked on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart. RightFromTheHeart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Justin in Athens. Hey, Justin.
What's up, Andy, Randy? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
So what's the most ticked off you've ever been after a game? Mine was the SEC Championship with Aaron Murray and the Dogs come up for you in short. I threw a chair through a closet door.
Dude. I'm just telling you, just drop it. I yelled so loud. That's when we lived in San Diego, and we were on like the eighth floor or whatever. I'm pretty sure people heard me downstairs. I yelled so loud, drop it! So freaking loud. But
is that the one?
I think that's the one. That one was harder than the Tua throw.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was harder than the Tua throw.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's probably it.
That's I don't know. I mean, I think there's just a different level of like sadness that you feel as a kid versus like when you're grown up. I don't know.
Like, I've never thrown nothing or broken anything over a sporting event.
I kicked a wall when Richard Hamilton made that that fadeaway against the Huskies in the final or in the Sweet 16 in 99, but it didn't break anything. Luckily, I think honestly the most mad I've ever been after a game was the 06 Sweet 16 loss. The Huskies had to UConn. Uh-huh. They're up 8 with like 45 seconds left, and they just blew the game. Mike Jensen, power forward for the Huskies, dumbest foul in the history of basketball, just screaming at him. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike, what are you? That was a good team. Brandon Roy probably could have been a Final Four team.
Yeah. You still think about it, don't you?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Because they haven't even, I don't even think they've been back to the Sweet 16 since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the most mad I've ever been. God, I was mad at Mike Jensen. I'm still mad at Mike Jensen. He ended up working with my brother at Macy's years later in the shoe department. Uh-huh. And I was like, good.
Whoa. Shoe department?
Yeah, he's selling shoes. And you said, which there's nothing wrong with. Like, there's nothing wrong with selling shoes.
There's nothing.
Yeah, but I'm just glad he didn't have a basketball career.
That's what I'm happy about. Damn, Bunk.
I'm glad his dreams of basketball fell apart after that. Mason's in Barnesville. Damn. Hey, Mason.
What's up, fellas? Three statements for you. As an Alabama fan, I just want to say Malachi Starks is the best defensive player on the field. I don't care who he's playing against. That man is crazy.
He's great.
Georgia Tech's pretty impressive this year. I think they're going to do pretty decent compared to the past 10 years. And I completely forgot about my third question. appreciate you.
Appreciate it, Mason.
Hi, Mason.
Malachi Starks, he's unreal, man. Like I said, he had to play that star position, which is a very important position in his defense.
Yeah.
But I would love to see him stay there.
Yeah.
But he was great. Yeah, I mean, I won't say it can't get no worse, but no, Tech's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Tech's going
to
be fine.
It's very exciting to be 2-0, having that great win in front of everybody in week 0, coming back and not doing the sleepwalk thing against Georgia State.
Looked a little early, but they beat them
45 to whatever, so they had a nice performance.
Right.
And now kind of looking around the ACC, like, who scares you?
Nobody.
Like, Miami's good. Miami is really good. And they beat Miami last year, by the way. I know it's totally different year in college football, but like.
Do they play Boston College this year? Because that's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just a straight hit them up shot. I mean, that's going to be a damn slugfest right there. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, that Coach Key has them right where they need to be. Mm-hmm.
35-12 they won on Saturday.
Yeah, but you got a nice quarterback, nice scheme, nice system, and everything you want to do.
They don't play Boston College. They got Syracuse, VMI.
That was a tricky one. It's at Syracuse,
At
too.
Syracuse, yeah. And they got,
it's always a tricky game.
They got some momentum. They're excited.
Yeah.
Louisville, Duke, at UNC, Notre Dame. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Obviously, that'll be a tough one. Virginia Tech, Miami comes here.
Mm-hmm.
NC State, who almost lost to Western Carolina.
Yes, they did.
And then, obviously, Georgia. The final one. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sky's the limit. It's very exciting. Mo is in Columbus. Hey, Mo.
All right, fellas, y'all got a call in regards to your most upset moment. So my most proud moment actually happened over the weekend. So me and my lady watching the game, and Mikael gets hurt, right? So she immediately jumps up, walks out of the room, gets on the phone. She comes back into the room 15 minutes later and says, he all right. He going to be in the back. He probably not going back in the game. It's probably a grade 2 ankle sprain. And I'm looking at her like,
you got the Columbus insiders down there. I like that.
Right. So a couple days later, obviously, we get news. And I'm like, hey, I had to call you. You were absolutely right. She was like, I told you, that's family. So what was the proudest of one of your family members or anybody on calling something that you just like, hey, what in the hell do you know about this?
Like the most proud you've been of a family member getting something correct?
Oh.
I don't like when my brothers get stuff right. It makes me mad.
Really?
Especially when it comes to sports, yeah.
They're not sports guys like you.
Ryan is.
Okay.
And Michael likes the NFL a lot.
Oh, okay.
Cole doesn't know much about sports. Not a big sports guy.
Oh, man.
No, because like Ryan will get something right and then just like keep texting me.
Yes. And that's
I told you. Like, yes, yeah, you did, I guess.
Leave me alone. I hate. And you know exactly where I'm looking at. I hate that I told you, guy. Or like, what did I say? Or I told like you. I
called it.
Called
or
it.
Called it. Like, so what? A damn cookie? God. They're the worst. They're the worst.
But also, my brother is convinced the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I think this is like, and then when they finally did, he's like, I told you. He's like, you've been telling me they're going to win the Super Bowl every year since 1994.
Right.
You don't get to take credit for the 1 year they actually did. Plus, also, everybody knew they were going to be good that year.
Yeah.
You don't get credit for that.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, it's different now. Like Mo said, like, they probably called his mama right there. He's fine.
Yeah, so his lady, I mean, Michael Williams from Columbus,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So they know family and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
It was, you know.
She beat Pete Thamel to the punch on that one.
You know what was crazy? We were in the car after we were on the way back from tutoring, and we were listening to the game day thing, and they were talking about the dude that's been in college for 9 years.
Yeah.
And they told his story.
He caught a touchdown.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. But they told his story about him the bad luck of him getting hurt.
Uh-huh.
And then I just thought to myself, damn, I feel now. You know me; it's hard to make me feel bad about anything. You know, because once I say it, I mean it, and I live with the whatever I say. But yeah, I was like, damn, I did say he needed to hang it up. But he just don't want to, man. And just some of the stories by his mom and everything was so cool. But yeah, I saw him catch a touchdown. I was like, hell yeah, good for him.
Yeah, he caught a touchdown for the Hurricanes, right? Cam McCormick is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's been in college for 9 years.
Yeah, man.
But again,
all the injuries,
not
crazy.
Just because he's like,
yeah, dude,
he's been hurt.
Freakishly get hurt.
Yeah, so you get a red shirt and then you get a gray shirt.
Mm-hmm.
What colors do the shirts get after that?
I don't know, Andy. They're all medically, you got to go in front of a judge.
You get a blue shirt.
Yeah, then he had the COVID year.
Then he had the COVID year.
Yeah.
This man's 30 years old.
He's 26.
26.
Yeah.
Closer to 30 than he is to 20.
Damn near. Damn near.
Yeah, but now he's on a really good team.
Yeah,
and he caught a touchdown, so it's awesome. Derek is in Charlotte. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing? I wanted to ask you, what is a cool nickname that was given to you guys through sports? Because of my sports knowledge, I was given the nickname of Almanac. And I wanted to ask you another question is, since you guys have gotten older, what are some things that you got more interest into? Mine is traveling and trying new foods. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Derek.
All right, what was the first
one? You got a good nickname? So when I was a freshman.
I've always been called Mac.
Okay.
Always.
Everybody calls me Bunk pretty much. But when I was a freshman on the high school soccer team, the seniors called me Sports Center because I would make good plays, but they were very slow. It was like it's all in slow motion.
Okay.
It was like it's like a highlight show. It's like that was a great play.
Uh-huh.
It was in slow motion.
Right.
Like, how are you the slowest person in the world?
Okay.
Like, I don't know, I'm 14. I'm growing.
Yeah, man.
And then by the time I was a senior, I was faster.
Leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Leave me alone, guys.
Yeah. What did you say? The one thing that what?
I don't know. Something you've gotten
into. Hobby you picked up as you've gotten older.
Chilling. I am the ultimate chill, mind my own business person ever. And I've always been a person to mind my own business, but I was out there hanging out and stuff. Man, I can't do it. And I can do it. My bounce back game is where it needs to be.
Mine isn't.
I just don't want to be doing it. I just don't want
to
do it.
I need to retire.
Yeah, I just don't want to do it.
God, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that I'm more into now than I used to. It's all, boring older person stuff.
What?
I don't know. Just you name it. Like, I know a lot more about tree species than I used to. I really like gardening. I didn't used to really like gardening that much. Just lawn
this
care in general. What should I call it?
I don't know.
We keep a garden.
I know y'all keep a garden.
We're growing tomatoes.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful garden.
It's nice.
It's
fresh tomatoes.
Gorgeous, dog.
Squash.
Just how we were just talking and everything. You said, you're gardening?
I do.
I know.
Working on your self-sufficiency?
I know you do, man. I know you do. There's nothing wrong.
You need me to rebrand it in a more hard way?
You just didn't have to say it.
What's the hard way to talk about gardening?
No, you said lawn work. It was just the conversation we were having. And I was like, I was into your gardening.
I'm just talking about stuff I'm into now that I'm older.
I know you do. That's cool, man. I saw the garden. It's lovely.
It's good.
It's wonderful.
It was just like seven tomatoes yesterday.
It was just a conversation of us talking and like gardening. But that's cool. Gardening is great.
That's how I talk.
Yeah. Hey. What was your sports name?
The teleporter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The damn teleporter. Yeah. Come on,
that's
man.
A good nickname, though.
It's great.
That's a really good nickname.
They didn't know how I got so open, man.
It's a good nickname. All right, let's get a takeaway of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaway of the day. Every rapper show.
Damn. You can't let vandals hang.
You can't.
You can't let vandals hang. Teleporter and Andy Pascal Sports Center.
Yep. Randy needs five walls to sleep.
I want to see this five-sided bedroom.
It sounds pretty cool.
Hearing a CBS chime and seeing the Big Ten irked Randy's nerves.
It did. It
and, did. Jordan it did. Playmakers, they need a little bit more wiggle.
It did. It did.
The interrogation room doesn't even need the bright light on.
No.
And gardening needs a rebrand.
There's nothing wrong with gardening. It's good that he does that. My neighbors have a beautiful garden.
Can we call it growing?
It was just the
he out there growing. Yeah.
It was just how the conversation was going.
Cultivating?
I don't know. Call it what you want. The tomatoes are delicious.
Yeah, they are.
I'm going to go home and have a tomato sandwich right now.
Really?
All right. Yeah.
Mayonnaise and salt, pepper.
Yeah, mayonnaise, salt, pepper, bread, tomatoes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.